As families prepare for the back-to-school season, addressing child health remains a top priority. Ensuring that children are physically and emotionally ready to return to the classroom is crucial for a successful school year. And for the youngest learners, a switch from preschool to transitional kindergarten might be an option for some. Transitional kindergarten provides a gentle introduction to structured learning, helping young students develop social skills and academic basics in a nurturing environment. But not everyone is on board. For families looking to support their child's education beyond the early years, platforms like Learnville offer valuable resources. By integrating interactive content with personalized learning paths, Learnville supports continued growth and development, ensuring that children and adults alike can thrive. It also incentivizes learning, bringing students motivation to show up for class and succeed. We talk about all things back to school. Fox 11 News In Depth starts right now. Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner, and it's that time of year when parents may rejoice, but many students are still a little shell-shocked. It's back to school time, and just like every school year, there are challenges and changes to be dealt with. Chief among those issues are those of physical and mental health. Joining us is board-certified pediatrician Dr. Connie Bartlett. Welcome, Dr. Bartlett. I am sure you get a lot of questions this time of year. Chief among them might be?
What do we do now that school started?
Well, that's pretty wide-ranging, isn't it?
Exactly.
Fairly vague.
Yeah.
And what do parents really want to know as they get the kids into school?
So a couple of things, Hal. I mean, basically, they're coming from a really fun summer with lots of fun activities and not a lot of structure. So now they're moving into an environment where they're expected to pay attention, to perform the homework, to be more focused. So the most common question I get from parents, like, how do I transition my children from a summer full of fun into a structured environment?
And one of the things you have to do is get back to sleep habits.
Correct.
And eating habits that you may have changed over the summer?
Absolutely. Sleep is probably the most important routine to get into when you return to school, because some of these kids, they have to get up early to catch the bus of being transported to school. So I recommend that parents start the clock early, maybe half an hour earlier than they normally do, and make sure that set these routine into motion where they have the children prepare their clothing the night before, prepare healthy snack for school the day before. So that way, you know, when they rush out of school in the morning, they don't have to forget these things or being late or need extra time that they could have been saved by preparing the night before.
Yeah, because when you start the day in a rush, your day is kind of messed up all day long sometimes.
Absolutely.
You know, what are some of the health concerns for children? Because you have childhood diseases.
Yes.
Are we still worried about measles and chicken pox? And I hear there's an uptick in whooping cough.
Yes. So those diseases have always been around, and we have been able successfully kind of curtail it through the vaccination through the children. So a couple of things, measles is making a comeback. A lot of it, there's multi-factors that lead into that. I think the COVID pandemic has caused a cessation, a lot of well visits to the doctor's office. So these children are no longer vaccinated or not vaccinated at the rate they should be. And there's a lot of concern with parents in vaccinating against measles. So when the what we call herd immunity drop because the vaccine rate is lower, it causes a resurgence of these disease.
So are you encouraging parents to have their kids vaccinated if they haven't been in the last, what, quarter?
In the last 2 years, right, since the pandemic, or at any age when they're due for the vaccine that's necessary.
Do they have any natural resistance at all?
No, unfortunately.
From prior?
So if you had the measles and feel fortunate enough to survive it without any consequences, you can develop natural immunity, but the risk is not there. And especially when you're talking about the communicable of measles, it's extremely contagious. You can spread it to other children, to your own siblings at school who are young and haven't had the chance to be vaccinated.
And a different kind of resistance. Are parents resisting vaccinations?
Absolutely. And unfortunately, there's a rise in that. And at this point, there's a lot of mistrust in the vaccine, and there's a lot of misinformation being fed to the parents through social media. And that has also caused a decrease in routine vaccination in children.
Is that what you attribute that to, social media chat?
Yes, so I the way I view social media is a double-edged sword. I think there's a great source of information, but also there's also an open forum for a lot of misinformation. So I caution parents about using social media as a primary outlet to look for reliable medical information.
How much of a problem is that if parents are resisting vaccinations for their kids? Right. Now you bring all these kids together and they haven't been vaccinated for COVID. They haven't been vaccinated for what, RSV?
Whooping cough.
Whooping cough, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so then we eventually, what we're going to do is we're going to see a resurgence. Some of these disease has been eradicated in the United States or has been dropped to a level that significantly, like for me, I've been in practice for 28 years, measles. It's one of those diseases that I don't see very often because it's been completely eradicated in the 2000 in the United States until recent years when a lot of measles outbreak are from family traveling outside the country and bring it back into the U.S.
The one I remember is chickenpox, and chickenpox always has a gift for you as you get older.
Yes.
And that becomes shingles because
yep.
it lays dormant in your system. I'm not a doctor,
yes,
and I don't play one on
true.
TV, but that's why you're here.
Yep.
And so why is it important to make sure that the kids are prepared, because it may affect their adulthood?
Absolutely. So shingles can only occur in the individuals with the chickenpox. So you can get shingles if you vaccinated and did not get the natural disease. So, and I don't know, as an adult, if you don't know anybody who had the shingles as an adult, it's a miserable disease.
Yeah, it's not much fun. Talk about super lice.
And it can be contagious.
I want to talk about super lice because we're
yes.
kind of short on time. Tell me about
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. So super lice is basically lice has been resistant to typical over-the-counter treatment. So super lice, same lice, same symptoms, exact same anatomy, except that because of some mutation, therefore now become resistant to over-the-counter treatment.
This has always been a problem, but I hear it's exacerbated by selfies.
Yes, so you've seen the teenagers, the young people that are doing selfie, the head-to-head. I mean, you have to have a prolonged exposure, so I'm not saying that you guys should stop selfie each other. However, with any exposure, you're at risk of lice can transfer onto your hair shaft and lay nits and make themselves at home.
So the problem is when they get their phone and then they put it up here and they say, here, come on over here, let's take a selfie. You get your hair next to each other, the lice jump around.
Correct.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, warning, parents. That's,
there you go.
That's a problem. Okay, very good. All right, Dr. Connie Bartlett, thanks so much for joining us. Fox 11 News in Depth continues after this break, and we'll continue to look at things related to school. Welcome back to Fox 11 News in Depth. The LA Unified School District rolled out universal transitional kindergarten last year. It's a head start on a program Governor Gavin Newsom has mandated statewide for 2025. Now kids who turn 4 years old by September 1st are eligible for this new grade level. It's intended to become the largest free preschool program in the country. Joining us right now is Christine Colbert. You know, you have a famous person on TV named Colbert, and that's where my mouth wanted to go. Christine Colbert, she is a transitional kindergarten educator. She's been that for more than 8 years. Give us a little rundown on the program, how that works, the controversies that have arisen, that sort of thing.
Okay. Hi, Hal. Transitional kindergarten, the universal TK program, is new because the age of the students has gotten younger and younger. This year, my students in UTK have to be 4 by September 1st, which means that when school started last Monday, I had 3 students who were 3 years old. And now over the course of the next 2 weeks, they're going to be turning 4. And that is the youngest age that we have ever taught on an elementary school campus. So for many families, it is a little bit anxiety producing.
So when you talk about TK, that's sort of the abbreviation for transitional kindergarten. It's not really new, but it has changed recently, right?
Yes. TK in itself has been around for a long time. I came into the transitional kindergarten program in 2016, and I switched over to UTK last year. It's a wonderful program because what it does is it's a mandatory 2-year program that exposes our students to kindergarten skills that they are going to practice again the following year. It's a two-year program.
How is it different from private preschool?
In the Los Angeles Unified School District and across the state of California, UTK is taught by credentialed teachers. When you're in a private school setting, the standards for instruction or the instructors is different. You need approximately 24 units of early childhood education. But for me, I need a California multiple subject credential with early childhood education units in addition to that. So I have a four-year degree plus a multiple subject teaching credential with an emphasis on early childhood. So the qualifications are slightly different.
I see. There are concerns about class sizes, right? And are TK classes bigger?
My class caps, meaning I cannot have any more than 20 students. Universal TK caps at 20. Traditional TK, which we have three on our campus, caps at 24 students. We're all held to the same preschool standards as mandated by the state of California. So my rules are the same as private preschool as far as
I understand. There have been a couple of citations for classes that didn't conform to whatever the parameters were.
At my school, we have not had that issue. I assume that across the district and the state, there may be citations, but I am not aware of them in my school community.
You know, I got to tell you, I remember my kindergarten teacher very well. Redhead, Miss Nivens. I remember her like it was yesterday. And I remember it seemed to be, at least in my mind, more play than instruction. Is that what it is?
Absolutely correct, Hal. Our program is a play-based learning curriculum. So even though we're on campus for a six-hour day, our day is based around play. We learn through play. In my classroom, I have tables behind me, but the majority of our day is spent on the carpet, outside. We spend approximately 2 hours a day outside and at centers, meaning at playing with dolls, playing with Hot Wheels and cars, playing with blocks. So we learn through play. And the idea is that when you have those wonderful experiences, probably the things you remember from kindergarten, you internalize the skills in a more meaningful way. We do not it's not a lot of paper pencil work. Although we do use pencils every day, it's very different than a traditional kindergarten program.
So how do parents kind of know what they're getting into, and what happens to kids who just really aren't quite up to speed, say in things like toilet training or not needing naps?
Well, in my six-hour day, I have a full-time teaching assistant. And so between my teaching assistant and I, we take care of children that have potty training issues. And I also have access to a bathroom, so they have free access to use the facilities whenever they need. And how do parents get to know about transitional kindergarten? On different campuses, they have different protocol, but on the campus I'm at, we have parent tours three times a year that are formal, where I'm teaching and then swaths of children come through the classroom with a liaison or a volunteer, and then they observe. We do outreach programs with our parents where we have picnics and barbecues and, you know, fun days where the parents and students come on campus so they can familiarize themselves with what it looks like. Because we don't want anyone coming in having anxiety. We want everyone to come in feeling safe and comfortable.
I want to go. I want to go
it's
to TK. Thank you for joining us, Christine Colbert. Really nice to talk to you. And coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, we talk to the founder of Learnville about the educational platform that integrates technology with learning. We'll explain right after this. Don't go away. As the kids go back to school, many young people and their parents discover that learning motivation is just a little lacking. In fact, chronic absenteeism has become an epidemic in America's schools, and the pandemic didn't help at all. From 2018 to 2023, the rate of chronic absenteeism nearly doubled from 15 to 26%. But what if instead of punishing kids for not showing up, they were incentivized to learn? Joining us right now is a veteran business strategist and founder of Learnville, Carrie Lynn. And good to see you. And, you know, I just got to tell you right off the tap, this sounds like a Dr. Seuss book. Learnville, Whoville, Whatville. Tell me about your Learnville.
Learnville is an application in which we provide access to education across the board, especially to those youth most in need. And we provide masterful education. So we partner with the leaders of said industries like financial literacy. Operation Hope is our partner for that. So we ensure that our education is premium, top tier.
So what's it trying to do?
Educate our future leaders and change makers.
But not in a traditional way.
Not in a traditional way. We are meeting Generation Alpha, which happens to be the largest generation to ever exist at over 2 billion population anticipated. And we are delivering them information in bite-sized pieces in TikTok-like form.
Isn't it amazing how many things we try to get into TikTok-like form? But, you know, in a way, isn't this something that would help inner city kids? Because it is kind of targeted that way, to almost learn about doing a job.
Correct. We're incentivizing them first by giving them the power to learn and earn points to cash in for digital gift cards for some of their favorite brands. And this empowers them, so if their basic needs are not met, they're able to go study, do these classes, and go get food at the grocery store. Or take these classes, get enough points, and go get some sneakers that they need. And so this is a way that it boosts their self-esteem, gives them some sort of empowerment, and also we're giving them tools so that they can be overall healthier in our communities.
Sounds like a pretty good concept. How well is it working?
It's working amazingly. We have increased attendance. We have increased the test scores in schools and decreased the need for mental health services.
Where's this being done right now?
Long Beach, Los Angeles, various schools, 7 schools in LA County, Atlanta, and Miami.
And the age group?
High school, 14. Well, some are over 18, so 14 to 20 at this time.
How are you attempting to expand?
Well, different languages. We'd like to get to different languages, meeting with various government agencies and seeing how we can make this across the board a U.S. platform.
You recently took some kids to a thing called VCon.
VCon
here
with
in
Gary
LA.
V, yes!
What is VCon?
VCon is my favorite tech, sports, marketing, art convention, and Gary has taken the best parts of every convention that he's been to, from ComplexCon to NFT NYC to you Comic-Con, and bringing it together so it's engaging, it's people to people, it's games, it's learning, it's panels, and it's experts speaking to everyone. And
what are kids getting out of it?
So they got to have an in real life experience where they got to speak to the people that they saw on stage. They got to learn about Web3 technology. They got to learn about marketing. They got to learn about how do you monetize social media. Social media is taking over, especially in this next generation that has lived their entire life on social media, right? And with technology. And so this is a way that they can learn how to make money from it versus, oh, I just need likes and followers. And so now they're starting their own businesses and it's sparking interest in career paths that they never knew existed had they not gone.
Give us some examples.
Examples would be digital art. So a lot of artists or inner city communities, there's graffiti, right? But in graffiti, if you make it into digital art, you can then sell that through Web3. You can also provide your services to companies and entities that in Web3, you have no idea the age of that person behind the screen, right? And they're developing their businesses without even having to finish high school.
There are extracurricular activities and things like AI and,
yes,
of all things, anger management?
Correct. How do you deal with high conflict situations? And so providing them these tools, they're better apt to deal with conflict in neighborhoods, between friends, and even within teachers, right? And so we're uplifting the overall health of the community, not just one sector. And us utilizing blockchain technology to provide this education gives us a scalable way that's cost efficient for the masses.
So what other classes are you teaching through this?
Music, sports, cybersecurity, AI, financial literacy, Web3 security, wallet security, so many.
That sounds like something the kids would really be attracted to, almost like they're attracted to their video games.
Yes, it's incentivized learning, and if they don't care about the learning at first, they care about, I need to go get food, or I need to go get some shoes for school. And so then what ends up happening is it sparks their curiosity, and as they start learning, then they want to learn more and more. So we're always looking for more partners to create more curriculum that we can provide for all of the youth.
And you never know what these little seeds you plant is going to grow into.
Yes.
My son was very active on video games, so much so it was like, hey, there's something else going on out there.
Yes.
Now he's a software engineer working for a company that makes video games.
That's
an example, though, of how if you give them an idea, they can take that somewhere. But the other part of that is you're paying them to do this. So what you're giving them gift cards.
Yes.
Where's that money coming from?
So that money is coming from donations from your favorite companies and or private angel people that want to donate so that we can go purchase Robux, for example, for Roblox. And so we are definitely always looking for new partners.
All right, you have a website. Tell everybody what it is.
Learnville, LEARNVILLE.io.
Still sounds like a Dr. Seuss book, doesn't it? Learnville. Carrie Lynn, very good. Thanks very much for joining us. And
we'll
be back with more Fox 11 News in depth right after this break. Don't go away. And finally, if you want to hear an audio version of this program, check out my podcast. It's called What the Hal, and it's available wherever you subscribe to podcasts, or just go to whatthehalpodcast.com. That's it for this week's Fox 11 News In Depth. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.